When the Lord began to reveal to me what the church really is, I understood why I had felt so lonely and unfulfilled before. I had some good relationships, even long-lasting ones, from classmates in school. But I had no idea that God intended for the church to be a family. I was never told that before. In my denominational church, we never saw the church as the body of Christ or an entity like that. We saw it more like an organization where people tried to find God and do good. But the Lord, one of the first things that the Lord taught me and gave to me was that the church is Christ's body. In 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, "For as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, 'Because I'm not the head, hand, I'm not the body, is therefore not of the body,' and it goes on to say, the various members of the body are all necessary. We all need each other. We really can't do without each other. I mean, even if you had a hand and an arm, you couldn't feed yourself without an elbow. And so all of these, every part is necessary. But until we have this revelation, we'll simply be people who go to church and get involved according to our preferences, whatever they might be. But since the church is a body, Christ's body, it's a spiritual entity. Yes. And your involvement with it empowers you to be involved with the work of God and the promises of God. You have all the benefits that He promises to His body. So we want to see the difference between going to church and being the church. Of course, we know that the church is not the building, but rather it's the building where the church meets. All of us collectively are the church. Paul's teaching on the body reveals to us that we need each other. In every way, it's like our physical body. You're not everything you need, but others in the body have that, which is necessary for your complete success in the kingdom purpose. But Galatians 9 and 10 says, Galatians 6, 9 through 10 says, "Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially to them that are of the household of faith." And that's the family of God, the household of faith. In Ephesians 3, 14, it says, "For this cause I bow my knee to the Father of the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named." The whole family in heaven and earth is named. The household of faith, the family of God. Paul speaks of those who take the responsibility to grow up, to grow us up in the faith as fathers and, of course, mothers. In 1 Corinthians 4, 15, he says, "For though you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you don't have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel. How powerful that Paul could beget or birth them into spiritual things by taking his rightful place as a father. God is our heavenly Father. Jesus is our elder brother. It's all about the family. His word makes it clear that God gives us spiritual fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters. And this causes us to be a family, which he calls the household of faith. Now, when you think what a family is, what has he actually told us? Understanding this is directly connected to the harvest. If we tell God we want to reap the harvest with him, then we've got to prepare a place to receive the harvest. That is very important. So being a family is extremely necessary in order to prepare a place for the harvest. How I perceive things determines how I will engage and interact with it. If I perceive the church as an organization, as a business or whatever, then I will sort of do what I think I'm supposed to do and sort of get in some kind of order. But if I perceive the church as a family, I'll know that it is relational. And I know it has to do with loving one another and praying for each other and building each other and being a mother or a father, a sister or brother to people. It's not about just going to church and trying to get more mature. In fact, you can't do it without fathers, mothers, sisters, and brothers. You know, this concerns me about people who think all they need is just get some teaching. No, you got to have the brothers, the sisters, and the fathers and the mothers, because that's the way God has set it all up.
Yes.
If I see the church as the family of God, then I'll respond and interact very differently than if I see it as people I work and play with, or and we try to do something for God. The concept of family is so much deeper and more powerful than our old church concepts have been. It really can accomplish something in the earth that'll bring God glory. If you perceive the church as your family, you do what your family does. And your part is to help with what you can do and what they need for you to do. This scripture relates our spiritual growth to the family concept. In Ephesians 4, it says in verse 14 that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to receive. Then he goes on to say, if we understand, we've got to move from being children, because children can be tossed to and fro and can be fooled by different winds of doctrine or any kind of thing. But we need to become spiritually mature, and we do that by having an understanding that the church is a family and relating to the church in that way. The church is not an organization. It should be organized, but it's not an organization to fix me and train me. It's a family that I become a part of. The gifts of the Spirit are not given to us so we can feel powerful and be spiritual. It's that we can grow up into one mature man, the scripture says. So that we can grow up and be one mature man. These are foolproof pages now, so. Now, you didn't get to choose who your parents were, did you? And I'm glad, because the Lord gave me wonderful parents. Your parents had brothers and sisters also for you without asking you. So you didn't get to choose them either. Everybody has family or extended family members that they might be willing to trade in for some other variety. I remember Catherine Kuhlman used to tell about an Aunt Matilda that she had. And she said she would always embarrass me. I would, even if it was out somewhere in the town, and all the way across the street she'd wave to me, "Hello, Catherine! Hi, Catherine!" And she said, but that's the way my aunt was. And I had aunts, some of my mother's sisters were, they were really interesting. One, and they were all pretty. All my mother and all of her sisters were pretty, and one of my aunts, she was married 2 or 3 times, and she would tell us the story about her niece or someone that she was spying on once when she was getting dressed. And she said that her, I didn't mean to say getting dressed, I meant to say putting her makeup on, so forth. Because I heard an O in the congregation. Sorry. And so you needed a laugh. So she said that she saw she saw, I think it was a cousin of hers is what it was. I saw her then after she got herself all made up. She looked in the mirror and said, "Boo, old pretty thing." And so you have to understand Southwest Virginia to understand some of this variety of things. And then this particular aunt that was telling the pretty thing story, she said that one time she was getting ready to go to work and she had her hose, her nylon hose, hanging on the clothesline. And as she walked under the clothesline, one of those hose caught her shoulder, just right up here, and it was hanging down the back, just enough to keep it anchored, so she could wear it walking all the way to town. And she said, and you know, As I was walking, I thought, well, everybody's turning to look at me. I must look really pretty today. When you understand that being a part of the church is being a member of the family, it completely changes the way you relate to it. Now, that was my Aunt Kathleen. I loved her. She used to take me by the hand and take me to the movies and different things like that. And would just let me talk to her about everything. It didn't matter to me that she wore hose on her shoulders and things like that. I didn't care because that's just who she was. When you understand being a part of the church is being a member of the family, it completely changes the way you relate to it. And that means that our family members, you know, it's like this. Who do you think's more alike, you or me? It's just, the thing is that we are different from each other in a lot of ways. We're a lot alike. We have one thing in common. We're all after Jesus. And we were born into the family by the Spirit of God, and that's a very powerful reality. Let God put the love, a family love, in your heart for each other. It'll change the way you pray and operate around people. Now, like being in the family, you see, if you came into your home, for example, and there was someone sitting there that you didn't know, would you ignore them? But we might do that in church. Hello. I like for us to promise ourselves, anytime I see anybody in church I don't know, I'm going to go to them, make them feel welcome, introduce myself, find out who they are. All you have to do is find out who they are. Ask a few questions about them and tell them that you're glad that they're here, and more conversation will often ensue. But the important thing is that we know that families, if we're going to prepare a place for the harvest, we've got to make people feel at home.
Yes, we do.
In our family, it's very important. So if someone were sitting in my home, I'd go introduce myself and make them feel welcome. If somebody was sitting there alone, I'd make sure to bring him into the circle with the others, wouldn't I? I wouldn't just say, yeah, I saw you sitting over there, but we're having fun over here. So important to help people be a part. Treat people in church as you would if they were in your home. You know, the Lord brings people to us. Why do you think? To love them and to love us and to make them a part of our family, and that we not let them feel lonely or alone. Somebody told me they recently visited a church and nobody spoke to them. Well, that's pretty sad. You ought to get a lot of Heidis before you leave any church, especially this one. The scripture says in Psalm 68, 5 and 6 that God sets the solitary in families. He sets the solitary in families. He brings out those which are bound with chains, that the rebellious dwell in a dry land. You have to be a part of the family to know the blessings of God. Because if you're off by yourself somewhere, you're just going to be in a dry land. He chooses a place for them where there are mothers and fathers, sisters and brothers, who will embrace them and care about them. It's one of the things that Heidi Baker says. This house has fathers and mothers that are ready to share and impart what they have with others. We're here, we're all different ages. We thank God for every person of every age, and we're thankful for newer ones that come in that are going to fill certain spots, and there are going to be more people that we will love and be friends with, and God will have responsibilities for them to do. And He's building His church in a way that will bring Him glory. We, because of all that's been going on, well, there's been a lot of sickness. And, you know, we've been trying to get a new members class together since sometime in December, and Christmas happened and all that kind of business. And I was handed a list of those who will want to be in the new members class. And there were 27. Wow. And it's really neat. But the thing is, I promise you, we will have a new members class in February. And you can become a member of your family.
Yeah.
And we will commit ourselves to you, and you commit yourselves to us. And by the way, there's a covering in the family and in the church that we really need and that we provide for each other. It's fine to have small groups and other things that help people connect, but the body of Christ is actually an organic reality. In its truest sense, though it should be well organized, it is not a business. It's a family. The best way to get plugged into a church, and it's so simple, you're just not going to believe it when I tell you. The best way to get plugged in with people, with individuals, the best way to get some friends, maybe your family will be friends with their family, is for you to take the responsibility to invite them either to your house or to join you someplace for a meal. And all through the scriptures, the scripture talked about the covenant and passing salt between them. That was over a meal. And that's where they learned to be really involved with each other and cutting covenant with each other. Because you can't be in covenant with people you don't even know. And so this is God's way that you do that. As pastor of this church, I've had so many meals with people that I should be fat by now. It's a thing that happens very often for me, but it's a wonderful way, and I want to encourage you to do that. Or around some other activity that you both enjoy, get together and get to really know each other. But each of you, and the saying is to be a friend, to have a friend, you have to be a friend. And you have to show yourself friendly. So Mr. Friendly happens to be my brother-in-law. And he helps other people get friendly with each other by getting lunches together on Sunday and things like that. And that's very helpful. That's an important part of what we need. So each one taking the responsibility to become involved with others. We ran into, Joan and I ran into a couple of members of our church when we were having lunch the other day. We were going to have lunch the other day. And there they were, sitting there at the table. And I said, well, what'd be wrong with you coming over here to our table? And so we accidentally got to have lunch together. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
We just need to take all the opportunities that we get like that. So the Lord sets the solitary in family. He chooses a place for them where there are mothers, fathers, sisters, and brothers who will embrace them and care about their needs and help them grow, applauding every success as they do their part in building His kingdom on earth. So if we understand this, the best way to get plugged in is to show yourself friendly and take the responsibility to get involved with people and get to know them. We had a couple, I knew them well enough that they were actually willing to admit that they didn't really like to go out to lunch with new people. I said, well, you don't have to like it. And you know what? The more you do something that you're not really given to, the more you'll get to the place where you'll see the beauty in it, you'll see the advantages of it, and you'll see that that was just an area that needed to be dealt with in your life. I don't always like to sit forever and talk to just anybody. I'm not talking about that. But I'm saying we've got to really love our family because they are our family. Relationships aren't easy or cheap. They have to be built. But you know, family is attractive. Now, God knew this, of course, and He made it attractive. And He made the church a family. There's something so wonderfully attractive about a family. I'm going to give you an example. And it's not just about food, because food's going to be a part of it. But I want you to know that it's the atmosphere, it's the culture, it's the warmth, it's the sense of belonging. My John used to walk a mile and a half to 2 miles every day at lunch so he could go home and have lunch with his grandparents. Now, the food was great. And that was one grandparent that they were really into cooking. That's a long walk. There was something altogether there that was worth walking a mile for, right? And he helped his other grandfather once they were putting in a sink that had linoleum around it. And they didn't have very much money. Neither of the grandparents did. But on that particular day, John was helping him, and right at the last, they broke the linoleum that would be around the sink. And when John saw the look on his grandfather's face, it just cut him to his heart. Now, John didn't have much money. He had to pay his own way. John worked all the time. He had to buy his own clothes and his own book. Neither John nor myself were catered to as children. And he had a little bit of money he was saving back for his school things and whatever. And he said, "Grandpa, don't be sad about this. I'm going to go get us a new piece of linoleum." And he took his own money, got the linoleum. Why? Because he's part of the family. Amen. And that was his grandfather, and he loved his grandfather. And he couldn't stand to see the sad, disappointed look on his face. Well, you know, we need to be with the family of God. I can't stand to just let them bear this burden alone. I want to help them in whatever way I can. This kind of thing, this thing that you have with your family, that's what God wants in the church, the family of God. He wants us to really care about each other, to support each other. And when we have successes, applaud us. And we're having problems, lift us up. It's the atmosphere of caring and sharing. It's the firm knowledge that somebody gives a rip about how you feel, or with what's happening to you, or what you need. The scripture says, "Rejoice with those that rejoice and weep with those that weep." It also says, "When one receives honor, we all receive honor." Wendy has had us praying about a really, potentially really good teaching job. And when she gets honored, if she gets that job, we're going to rejoice with her, and we're going to feel that honor too.
Yes, we are.
We have a person that teaches at that school. They see how valuable she is. So pray also. Pray that she'll get that job.
Yeah.
Relationship is not about just doing things together. It's walking in reality. It might be sometimes crying together and praying together and working together. It's about sharing hearts and hopes. It might be sticking with a brother who has blown it or rescuing a sister who has failed. Did you ever fail or blow it? But the scripture says, "You that are spiritual, restore such a one, considering yourselves, lest you also be tempted." But the woman that was complaining to Derek Prince about her husband and things needed to be right in their lives and this and that and the other, but somebody was going to have to bend and help make things right in this, and he said, "Who's the spiritual one in your family?" She said, "Well, I am. He's not even saved." He said, "Then it's your responsibility." Hello? If you're spiritual, then you're to restore those that fail and fall and stumble. Except for the grace of God, that's where you would have gone.
That's right.
One time I was embarrassed about a failure of someone in our church, and you know, and that was going to get around places and this, that, and the other. It was a long time ago. I think my embarrassment register is out of commission now, because that never even, I never even think of that. But I was embarrassed about it, and I sort of didn't want people to know about it. And the Lord really gave me a whack about it. He said, I have a question to ask you. Are you building a church or painting a picture? Now, if you're really developing a church, then it's not going to be all beautiful. It's not going to be all perfect. It's not going to be all that would be a great testimony to anybody that sees it. There's all kinds of things go on in churches. That's reality. We don't find that Jesus was embarrassed about the one lamb that left the 99 that he had to go get. He just went and got him. Or the prodigal son, stinky, smelly, hanging out with pigs. He wasn't ashamed of him. He gave him the robe and the ring and the shoes and welcomed him back in the family. Or what about Peter that blew it three times that we know of? He said, go tell my disciples and Peter, because the disciples might think Peter's not a disciple anymore with the things he did. And that's what it's like in our family. In our natural families, we don't write the members off who have difficulties or who need our help. If they get sick, we want to lift them up. We take the responsibility to help them be restored and to get what they need. My sister has a couple of medical things that have bothered her so much, and one of them that she had, I worked with her on it until we found a machine that really helped her with that. But it was my burden. I cared about it. She was in pain. And this is how we do when we really love people and care about them. A family atmosphere will give people hope and a future. They'll have the confidence that they matter not only to God, but to God's people. They'll have a place where they can live out their lives in the will of God with the help of their brothers and sisters as they join the vision of that house. See, I'm thinking that if the Holy Spirit will reveal to us by His Spirit what it really is to be the family of God, and I'm trusting that today some of the things I shared have given us just a little bit better picture, that the family of God, we've got to understand it like we do our natural families. Only we have the Holy Spirit who helps us to get connected and to stay connected in the right way and to help each other. So I'm thankful. I believe that God, you know, we ask Him to give us revelation and help us prepare for the harvest and prepare for revival. I think this is the kind of thing that He's doing to help us.
Yes.
How many of you can say you learned something today that gives you, thank you, that gives you just a little better understanding? Because let's say you're an orphan. Let's say that you live alone and you're an orphan, and maybe you don't even know who your family is, or maybe they left you. Scripture says, my father and mother leave me. The Lord will take me up. And it's so wonderful to know that He will never, never leave us or forsake us. And we can't ever leave or forsake one another. There needs to be a special commitment, loyalty, and love to the members of your family, the family of God.
Amen.
Because in tenderness, the Holy Spirit has brought us together. And we're going to love you and overlook a lot of things that your so-called friends in the world won't. Because we understand about love, and we understand about how God restores and rebuilds people. So I just feel today that, you know, even as we have prayed for Andy and Eddie and released them today in the precious and kind things that they shared together. That God calls us to be a family and to always love each other, to overlook the eccentricities, idiosyncrasies. What? Well, that's what, John, that's what some other people have, honey. Just talking to them. And not only to overlook, but to love through whatever we're seeing. Continue to love you through that. And don't expect so much of people. I mean, look for their potential and try to help them reach it. But if they can't do everything you thought they would or whatever, and you can. I told John the other day, I said, you know, pride just lurks around every little corner. No matter how many things we have to beat on our pride, it's got 10,000 lives. And I told him, I said, this is a conversation I had just between myself and God. I was sitting there and I was thinking because something was happening, and I thought to myself, I thought to myself, you know, I do that so much faster than other people do. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, shut up. And the minute, even if you're just pointing it out to yourself, the minute you get into that realm, you're making yourself better. And the only reason, can I tell you something? This is deep. The only reason you can do things better in an area is because God gave you the ability. How many know this? It's not because you were just born wonderful, you know? And so I think all of these things, if we understand this, and if we receive that, the Scripture says to comfort the feeble-minded, for example. Well, I know that nobody's going to raise your hand for that one. But let's say that somebody is. Are you going to say, boy, he's weird? Or are you going to comfort him by saying, well, I'm so glad you're here, and be kind? You know, this is where we live every day of our lives. Thank you, Pastor, for giving us an example of what it might look like to love people in spite of how we are and what's in us. I'm thankful for the body of Christ, aren't you? Is Eddie up there? Yes. Oh, good, Eddie. Then would you let us worship before we leave today, in spite of the fact that it's sad to say farewell, it still is a good day to know that our future is as bright as the promises of God.
Yes.
And that we've had opportunity to know some people better that we're going to know forever in heaven. And we're thinking about those things. God is good all the time. And the way He does things is the way that He can bless people. And we have to trust Him for that. You can't be telling God what to do if you're praying for His will. Is that right? Those two things don't go together. So let's stand together and bless Him.